Chapter 39. Close the door, Lu Pei said. Sarah shut the door. You going to help me? The girl nodded, swallowing. You got something that belonged to this sword maker? Sarah produced the suba, black iron in the shape of a lotus blossom, and handed it to the girl. Lu Pei set it on the bed, went to the window and shut the blinds. Works better if there's less light. She took a towel, wadded it up, and spread it at the base of the door like a dormie about to light a doobie. How often have you done this? Sarah asked. Twice. Once to find me Hermano. Once to talk to Selena. How'd it go? I told you about Enrique. I never could get in touch with Selena cause I don't got nothing of hers. Maybe I buy something on eBay one of these days. Sarah looked around. She hadn't seen a computer. How do you know about eBay? I learn about it at school. They sell in all sorts of stuff used to belong to Selena. There's this statue of her in black leather jacket, but that wouldn't help me get in touch with her. In order to reach someone who's dead, you need to have something that used to belong to them. The suba had belonged to Muramasa, not Udo, or Shigeyoshi. But it was Muramasa's sword that had supposedly started this whole mess. If Udo had killed Muramasa, perhaps the swordsmith's ghost was in touch with that of the warrior. Perhaps they took tea together. Sarah didn't know what she expected, but she was out of leads on the earthly plane. Time to cross over. She tapped the disc on the bed. The girl took it, held it up to the light, looked as if she were about to take a bite out of it. What is this? It's a suba, the hilt from a samurai sword. Who we reaching out to? Sarah smiled. The girl had unconsciously invoked cop talk. The sword's builder, Muramasa. He lived in Japan in the 1300s. How long ago was that? 700 years. You couldn't figure that out? Geez, I don't have my calculator. Hush up now, I got to concentrate. The girl set four large candles around the room, at the four corners, and lit them. They sat cross-legged on the bed facing each other with the black metal disc between them. Lu Pei instructed Sarah to rest her fingertips gently on the edge of the suba. Lu Pei did likewise. Outside, they could hear traffic swooshing by a block away on Atlantic Avenue. The sound seemed to recede as Lu Pei bent forward at the waist and began to speak in a low voice. Muramasa, great sword maker, you who wander in the void unsatisfied, unrequited, without rest, hear us. Speak to us. Tell us what you seek. Nothing. Nothing save the distant swoosh of traffic, like an angry sea, the hiss of water moving through the pipes, the muted glee of the Powerpuff Girls from the television in the living room. They sat awkwardly for 5 minutes. Lu Pei looked up from beneath her black bangs. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes the spirits are busy. How often have you done this? Twice, I told you. Hush up. I got to concentrate. The girl dropped her voice an octave as if speaking in a patently fake tone would convince the spirits of her sincerity. Muramasa, great sword maker. Sarah's hand began to tingle an instant before the gauntlet arrived with a clank. A cold wind blasted through the room, making the blinds buzz and blowing out the candles. The room grew dark, as if someone had set a bell cover over the entire building, blocking out the sun. The witchblade yanked her hand outward, as if to ward off a blow. The voice emanated outward, in ripples, from somewhere within Lu Pei, but did not issue from her mouth. Her lips moved, but the sound came from everywhere and nowhere. It was a man's voice, harsh and guttural. It spat forth the words, Washi no katana. Kaisei. In a dialect that hadn't been heard in 700 years. A tendril of burning chemical fiber wound through Sarah's sinuses like a bramble. She looked down. The suba was glowing red hot, igniting the cheap bed cover. Instinctively, the witchblade swooped down, picked up the glowing disc and tossed it in the girl's metal waste basket. The trash can was empty. The suba glowed dull and began to fade. Lu Pei's eyes rolled up into the top of her head and she collapsed sideways on the bed. Sarah looked down. The witchblade was gone, replaced by the ornate costume bracelet. Her palm tingled, from the heat of the disc. Leaning over, she straightened the girl out, thumbed open her lids, looked at her eyes, felt her pulse. Sarah let herself out of the bedroom, down the short hall to the tiny bathroom where she found a clean washrag and soaked it in cold water. At the end of the hall, the younger sister remained sprawled on a cushion watching Nickelodeon. She seemed a little old for those programs. Maybe she was retarded. Lu Pei opened her eyes as Sarah applied the cold cloth to her forehead. She blinked a couple of times. Wow, I guess we made contact, huh? Sarah had been repeating the strange words over and over in her head until she found the mnemonic key, which she used to lock the memory and then swallowed. Are you all right? Wait, don't try to sit up yet. Tell me what happened. You know what happened, lady? I made contact. I wasn't there. I got pushed out. Only you saw and know what happened. You don't remember the words? No. What's that smell? Is something burning? The artifact I brought became red hot and set the bedclothes on fire. Don't worry. It's out. There's no danger. Sarah scooped up the now cool iron soubah from the trash can and stashed it in the snug back pocket of her jeans. If she didn't get it back to Hecht, she would be paying it off for the rest of her life. Lupe sat up. Wow. Did that really happen? She stared at the charred spot in the middle of her bedspread. Why are you surprised? You believe in witchcraft, don't you? The girl nodded. You have extraordinary abilities. How are you doing in school? The girl drew her knees up beneath her chin. Suddenly she looked 12 years old. You ain't my mother. That's right, I'm not. When someone expresses interest in you, the least you can do is be polite. Let me guess. You don't attend regularly. Can you read and write? Of course I can read and write. I'm not stupid. Sarah just stared at her with limpid green eyes. Lupe squirmed. Okay, I'm sorry. Maybe I made a mistake about you. Maybe you ain't evil. But you a witch, I seen that for myself. Sarah winked. Takes one to know one. Lupe gaped. A guffaw escaped her reluctant lips. Okay. We just a couple of witches have in a coven. There was noise outside the room. A moment later the door swung inward revealing a rail-thin Latino woman, her long black hair streaked with gray and fixed atop her head in a bun, wearing a coral-colored waitress uniform. I thought I heard voices. Who is your friend? Sarah stood. Sarah Pezzini, Mrs. Gutierrez. I live on the fourth floor. You're the police woman. She offered her thin, strong hand, quizzical expression on her face. Is Lupe in trouble? Conspiracy, incitement to riot, illegal possession of a firearm, driving without a license. No, ma'am. Not at all. We just discovered we have a few things in common. More quizzical. We both have precognitive abilities, mama, the girl said. Mrs. Gutierrez nodded, smiled. Would you like some coffee, officer? No thank you, ma'am. I have to be going. But if there's anything you need, that I can help, here's my card. She scooped up the 9 on her way out the door, gave Mamacita a smile. It's mine. I just set it down for a minute.